Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Simple Down podcast. Here we talk about things that help us simplify our lives from within. And today the topic is just great, practicing greatness at a simple level. Not long ago, I was on my favorite astrology app called Pattern, and I got this excellent question as a reflective prompt. What one simple decision could be the start of writing the next chapter of my life? If I look at it casually, it may give off this abstract and pretentious vibe a little bit, especially that part of writing the next chapter of my life, you know, because no one really talks like that, I think. But if we ignore the phrasing here a little bit, it really is a great reflective prompt. What one simple decision could really better my life? Yet, one simple decision, to me, still sounds like it should be simple but grand in some way. Like, it should be life-changing. It sounds like something that will give you visible results and will make you feel that next chapter opening up for you. It makes you want to set up some mood boards, you know, to work hard on it as if you had some real control over your life and over your many chapters, which, yeah, it's not really true. What if I suggest you take some invisible steps instead? Steps that at first seem like they couldn't possibly take you anywhere, but then 5 years later, you find yourself in a state of being that you were only dreaming about before. And you don't even see how you got there because the individual parts of your change are so minute that it's impossible to pinpoint the exact moments of when the change even happened. So for this, I would rephrase the reflective prompt even further. How can I choose better right now? Because essentially this is the question, right? How can I choose better right now? This next chapter is just figurative speech for a better chapter. A chapter where we overcome at least one thing that we believe is currently holding us down. But if we move forward with this using a mindset that we've been sold by the media, we would very likely go to the extremes. We would grasp onto the idea of our next chapter as if it's something that will save us, as if this glow up will solve all of our problems, forgetting that, well, you can actually be unhappy in a golden castle with everything you've ever wanted because your problems start from within. We might become overly ambitious and even obsessed with whatever we'd like that chapter to look like. And extremes tend to feed the not self. The version of you that is ego and programming based, right? The version of you that has been crafted by what's desirable in your environment. It's not authentic to you. It's not what you create by being yourself, by curating your thoughts and being intentional with your actions in that exact order. And extremes can also stretch us out too thin, making it difficult to sustain. Which for a lot of us, including myself, results in health problems, in mental problems, and probably a lot of other problems. Meanwhile, practicing greatness at a simple level allows us more grace. It gives us more space to find what truly feels authentic without this heavy dark cloud of pressure of what our personal greatness allegedly is supposed to be. We don't know that. There is no way for us to know that. And if we always use others as examples for ourselves, then where do we have any room left to be ourselves? Practicing greatness at a simple level gives us that room. So to choose better right now, to do it authentically, you don't need to be faced with some sort of dilemma. We don't want it to require a lot of our thinking, energy, or time, or resources, or whatnot, we want it to be super simple and use language that we can connect to. Let me tell you about something I've been doing as an example. So my vision for myself and my life lately has been having more confidence in myself, in my choices, and in my ability to be there for myself, no matter what may come my way. And usually, the thing that comes my way is fear. I would back down from difficulties too often. I would avoid challenging situations. And just in general, I had very little belief in my ability to survive. You know, not even thrive, but to simply survive. So to build my confidence and self-esteem, I had to challenge my fears somehow, but it also needed to be an authentic process for me to connect to it. So I didn't decide to jump out of a plane or something because it's not even something I want to do or would enjoy doing or even care about at all. It doesn't prove anything to me. For my process to be authentic, I must want to do the thing and be afraid of doing it because fear, in order to really enjoy the results. And it needs to be a simple process for me to keep it up. You know, it cannot be just jumping out of a plane, which I will do once every 5 years. Like, what kind of progress is that? You know, sometimes I have the most irrational fears, so I have lots to work with. For example, I started riding my bicycle again after a long time. And at first, I would be like, okay, I can ride here because it's safe to ride here, but I can't go over there because I don't know what's over there and I don't know how the trip will be. The area is kind of unfamiliar, therefore scary, and I would need to cross the street and I would also need to pass by people and cars. And what if I get hungry? What if I need to use the bathroom? No. That's too uncertain, too unfamiliar. I will ride around in circles over here in this little area and call it a day. But I knew that I want to expand my rights, you know? I had the desire to overcome this fear. And I'm sure you can see yourself in similar situations, maybe not bicycles, but just fearing the unfamiliar and uncertain, staying in the comfort zone. Like, it's a super common state of being. So I've started to do one simple little thing to change this fearful thought pattern, basically. I've come to a non-negotiable resolution that fear is not an option for me. And this is something I've picked up from the author Monica Berg. It's a phrasing I really connected to. It was not because of who she is or what she's for, blah, blah, blah. It really, the only thing this phrase has to do with the author is that the author came up with it, right? It's not an inspiration or anything. It's just how the language is put together, right? It's a language that I really connected to. Fear is simply not an option for me. What else can I do? How else can I approach this situation if I just scratch out the option of being afraid? Your brain actually has to start working in a different way. It starts looking for new options because you've removed its go-to option, so it has no other choice. And this is really how it, you know, how it happens in real life. Like, this is something that I've experienced myself. It's not just some theory. There obviously are moments of necessary fear in our lives, but that sort of fear is about what's actually happening in reality, in real time, and you need to act accordingly to keep yourself safe. The fear that I'm describing in my story is not that sort of fear. It's more of an anxious fear, and it's about things that are not actually happening in reality. So I hope that we have this distinction down, because what I'd say, simple as that, look for a phrase that would suit your situation and make it the primary thought in your head, at least for the time being. It does not need to be, and I would say it shouldn't be, anything that's tightly connected to some very specific vision of your future self you have, because that's an expectation. We don't want to be stuck in the future or the past. We want to choose better right now, without pressures and expectations. Do I want to be afraid right now and miss out on an amazing experience? No, I don't. What else can I do? It could be something like, I'm the most precious thing in my life. So is this really good for me? Even if I'm the most precious thing in my life, what else is available for me? It could be complaining is not an option for me. What else can I do? Or it could be, I only choose love. So if this thought that I'm having does not come from love, then it is not an option for me. How can I show up with love in this situation? Whatever the phrase, you always have the power to remove certain options from your life. It's not anything abstract. It's not anything that's difficult to understand or practice or envision. It actually doesn't require any envisioning at all, because you will never actually know how your life turns out. But with practicing greatness right now, you can have a wonderful, authentic, and fulfilling present moment. Whenever a familiar yet damaging thinking pattern comes up, if you want to honor and respect yourself, you must be strict with yourself, you know? You don't need to craft this vision or mood board in order to achieve change. It can all happen through these seemingly innocent little phrases that just feel right to you. I mean, yeah, it's like brainwashing yourself. But you gotta admit, a brainwash done right is a one-way ticket to happiness. At first, you will need to be more present in order to stop and readjust. So look for ways to create regular reminders for yourself of what you're doing, right? Until this pause becomes a part of your mindset. And once it becomes your mindset, it doesn't require much effort. It's just a natural response you'll have. A response that will pave your way to whatever state of being you're trying to achieve, without any extremes or mental breakdowns, without any comparisons or gurus or over-theorizing and overthinking every situation. Just a simple, quick meetup between the moment and you. And speaking of meetups, have you met the subscribe button yet? If not, consider yourself introduced. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode. Thank you all for listening. As always, love you guys, and until next time.